Mark chapter 16 this morning. I'm just going to be reading two verses this morning, verse 6 and 7. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell Jesus' disciples and Peter." Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for your faithfulness to us. We praise you, God, for who you are this morning. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether the world believes it or not. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us and through us this morning. And if there's someone here this morning, God, that does not know you as a personal Savior, may they realize they need you this morning and make you the Lord of their life. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that once knew you, but Lord, they've drifted away from you, may this morning be the morning they return, for your arms are wide open. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We live in a very troubled world today. Pastor's already been mentioned of many things. There's wars and there's crime and violence. It's rampant today. There's things that are going on in the world today. Things going on in America today that we would have not even thought of 10, 15, 20 years ago. Morals are at an all-time low. What used to be wrong is accepted. Sad to say, many times, even by the church. Things that used to be sin now are mistakes. Don't shout me down. Things that used to be sin are now mistakes. Oh, you see today, my friend, the world may be changing, and it is. But Jesus Christ and His Word is the same. What once was sin is still sin. And one day, many years ago, God destroyed the human race except for one family, Noah, because of sin. God has never accepted sin, and He never will. But I'm glad today that the grace of God is greater than all sin. I'm thankful today that the blood of Jesus Christ has never lost its power. For 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, on what we call Good Friday, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sinless, was suspended between heaven and earth, between two thieves. For you, and for me. He was beaten almost beyond recognition. He was stripped. He was mocked, ridiculed. His beard was pulled out. He took 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. But yet, he stretched out his arms. Said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you see, that is the love of God this morning, my friend. If you ever wonder if God loves you, look to the cross. If you ever doubt that He cares for you, look to the cross. If you ever have a thought today that is hopeless, look to the cross. If you ever come to the place in your life that all the odds are against you, and you think there is no way that things can ever get better, look to the cross. He did not die on that cross for the elite. He did not die on that cross simply for the rich or the poor. He did not simply die on that cross for any nationality or any creed or any denomination or any country, any nation. But he hung on that cross that day for the whole world, for all of Adam's race. He hung there that day for you and for me. That was the Son of God. The executioners had performed this many times to others who had been condemned to die on a cross. But as I preached the other night, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. For this man named Jesus was there, not because he was guilty, for they could find nothing wrong with him. Pilate could not. But he was there because of my guilt. He was there because of my shame. He was there because of my past, not because of his. He was there that day because he loved his creation. He was there that day on that old rugged cross. Why? Why did he go? He loved you. Why did he stay? He loved you. You see, that was the Son of God that day. Not just a mere man, but holy, spotless, innocent, guiltless, righteous. It was the Son of God. It was God himself wrapped up in flesh. That was God there that day, my friend. The one that spoke and said, let be, and it was. The one that created this universe out of nothing. The one that was there before there was nothing. That was him that day on that cross who gave his son. His only son for you and for me. There was nothing pretty about it. That was not a pretty cross. I know we have pretty crosses today. But there was nothing pretty about that cross. The song has it right. It was an old rugged cross. Made out of a tree. The one that would hang on it grew. He bled that day. He emptied himself of all of his glory. He emptied himself of all of his majesty. He emptied himself that day of all of his power. He emptied himself that day of all that he had in the palm of his hand. He emptied it all. And he bled. He did not swoon. He did not simply become unconscious. He died a literal death as a human being. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, forgiveness of sins. We sing that hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make me the righteousness of God in Christ? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. There was God that day, wrapped up in flesh. He came. I know this is resurrection morning, but you can't preach the resurrection without the cross. We've got to believe that he died first. If you don't believe he died for your sins, like the Bible says, you cannot really believe in the power of the resurrection. He literally died. There was no life in him. It was void of life. And they took him down from that cross. As a human being. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. They cast lots for his garments. The centurion, when they began to take him down, said, truly, this was the Son of God. When they placed him in that borrowed tomb, he descended into Hades and he preached the gospel to those who had already died. He led the captivity captive. And he set them free. As the Son of God. God wrapped up in flesh. And they went to the tomb. On the third day. And the stone. The sepulcher had been rolled until it was wide open. Where is he? They ask. The man that was there inside the tomb said, he is not here. He is not. He is risen. The tomb is empty. We really don't need anything else said. The tomb is empty. But the throne of God is occupied this morning. Oh, you see this morning, my friend. He did for you and me what had never been done for any human being before. But if he had just died, Paul says our faith would be vain. Empty. Void of power. But because the tomb is empty. Well, glory be to God. Because the tomb is empty, our faith in Jesus Christ connects us to the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you see this morning, because the tomb is empty. Sin does not have to have a power over any individual today. Because the tomb is empty. Sin has to be loosed from the person who meets Jesus at the cross. You see, sin is powerless today to the person who chooses Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. You see, sin, as powerful as it is, I know it has people in its grasp. I know sin has people doing things I never thought they'd do today. Addictions. And I won't go down the list. You know what they are. Bondages today. Sin has so got a hold of people. But because the tomb is empty, those chains have to fall off when you call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There was a revival a few years ago. Church had two services. In between the first and second service, they had Sunday school, so I went to the trailer and meditated a little. I was unlocking the trailer door, ready to go in, and saw a man walking down the sidewalk. I knew he was going to ask me a question. He was in the first service. He said, "Preacher." He took something out of his back pocket, round about like that. Some of you may not know what that is. Skull, Copenhagen, something like that. He stuck it right in my face, that close. He said, "Preacher, can I go to heaven doing this?" I said, "If it's okay with Jesus, it's okay with this preacher. But you better make sure it's okay with Jesus." There's a marquee right over here on a church. It says, "If you live like there is no God, you better hope there's not." If you believe today that Jesus is not alive, you better hope and pray he's not. If you continue in sin and live separated from God and reject him, you better be sure I'm wrong and you're right. You see, I can be wrong and still make it. But if you're wrong, you'll miss heaven. Oh, you see today, my friend, the tomb is empty. Thereby sin can be broken today. Because the tomb is empty. Everything that would keep you out of heaven can be covered by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, you see today, my friend, the tomb is empty. But I like this right here. The reason I read verse 7, just a little bit of it. This leaped out at me the other day. Tell Jesus' disciples, okay? But this is what I want to bring home this morning. And Peter. Wonder why he said that. Peter had denied him 3 times. This man said, "Go tell Peter." The one he denied was alive. Glory. There's probably somebody here this morning that you once knew Jesus Christ, but you don't know Him this morning. But you know the good news this morning is Jesus calling your name. And He said, be sure to tell Peter. Be sure to tell John this morning, Pat. Pat, be sure to tell Tommy this morning. Be sure to tell Sally or Jane this morning. I'm alive. Glory be to God. Glory. Tell Peter! No, Peter spoke sometimes when he should have been quiet. But they wanted to make sure Peter knew the tomb was empty. That's good news for this preacher this morning. Hallelujah. Tell Peter! Peter's that man that knew Christ as a little boy. Peter is that girl that knew Jesus as a teenager. Peter is that young mom, young dad, grandma or granddad that used to serve Jesus. Something happened along the way. And they stumbled. And they faltered and they fell by the way. But I'm telling you this morning, the tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, you can come back to Calvary this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. Tell Peter. Oh, you thought He'd told John, the beloved. You thought He'd told John that laid His head on His breast. I can't get away from this morning. But He said, no, tell Peter. Tell Peter, forget about the others really. I'm not calling them by name. Tell them, but I want you to specifically tell Peter. That I am alive. There's somebody here this morning that needed that part of the message right there. No doubt about it. Or God would not have impressed that upon me so strongly. Can you imagine? Brother D.S., for the Church of Nazareth would be today. If everybody that once knew Jesus and the Church of Nazareth came back home. Can you imagine? Every Nazarene church would go in a building program. And I'm preaching to some of you this morning. Some of you were raised in this church. But you just come on Easter and Christmas. I'm glad you come then. But Jesus wants you 24/7, 365. I want to remind us this morning. You see, I know who I'm preaching to. You've heard the story dozens and dozens of times. You've heard it. But Paul the Apostle in the Philippi jail wrote, I want to know Him. And the power of His resurrection. I want to know Him. I don't want to just know about him. If you were to ask people today, well, do you believe there's a Jesus? Many would say yes. Do you believe that he died on the cross and rose again? Yes. I wonder what attendance across America will be this morning. In every Protestant denomination, I wonder what the total attendance will be. And I wonder what it was last Sunday. And I wonder what it'll be next Sunday if Jesus tarries. Oh, you see, Jesus deserves more than me just knowing about him. He wants me to know that intimate relationship with him. He wants me to say, Lord, I want to decrease, and I want you to increase in my life. Less of me and more of you. I want to die on that cross like you did, Jesus. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. Oh, you see this morning, my dear friend, you can know the power of the resurrection this morning. You want power? Here it is. You don't know what power is until you know the power of the resurrection that can take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. You don't know what power is until you know the resurrection power that can take a life that is hopeless and give it hope in the 21st century. That can take a life that's empty and fill it with the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, when you know the power of the resurrection, you'll be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and say, it is well within my soul. The prophecy had been made. That Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary. They would live and be crucified, placed in a borrowed tomb, and rise again. But the prophecy has also been made that he will come again. Three times in the Gospel of Mark, Mark says, quotes Jesus, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. I'm going to rise again. But he said, I will come again. My friend, this morning, we're closer than we really realize, I believe. When the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which remain shall meet the Lord in the air. And about 30,000 feet, there's going to be a revival to break out that has no closing date on it. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? If the trump of God were to sound right now, oh, you say, preacher, don't scare me. I'm not. Face the facts. Do you know about tomorrow. You don't know about the next moment. Besides that, you're not promised another moment. He's going to come as a thief in the night when you're least expecting him to come. The first time he came to die on an old rugged cross. My friend, the next time he comes, pardon the English, he ain't coming to die. He's going to come on a white stallion, not a donkey. And he's going to take the redeemed to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, he is coming to get the church. He is coming to get those who have accepted him as a crucified, resurrected, interceding Savior. That's who he's coming back for. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time for you to serve Jesus Christ like there was no tomorrow. Do you know him this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection right now? Oh, I'm here to tell you, my friend, you haven't lived until you know the power of the resurrection. You're talking about power? How many people have you seen come out of the grave lately? How many? Go around the cemetery today in Kearney and see how many people you see come out of the grave if Jesus doesn't come first. Oh, no, they don't have the power to come out. But Jesus, he had the power over death, hell, and the grave. He came out. You're talking about power. That's power. And you can know this power this morning. Reverently stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Father, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that right now you would draw the net. I've told the old story the best that I could, Lord, but it never grows old. It's still the power today that saves. So Jesus, right now, that person that's never known you, may they come to you this morning. Lord, I believe there's a Peter here this morning. The message was specifically for Peter this morning. Somebody here is a Peter. Come back this morning. I invite you to come. Just as you are. Just going to tarry a few moments. Would you come? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus is who you need this morning. He's who you're looking for. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the name that is above every other name, and the name which someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, that he is Lord of lords and King of kings.